Welcome to Long-Term Care Radio on Seattle's Cairo Radio. Long-Term Care Radio is brought to you in part by 525 Advisors, your local long-term care experts. Brian Ott is a certified long-term care planning specialist and will show you how to protect the people you love from the financial, physical, and emotional consequences of a long-term care situation. Because of new state and federal laws, there are new and exciting options you need to know about. Now, here's your host, Brian Ott.
And welcome to Long-Term Care Radio, and thanks for tuning in again. You know, when I was a kid, the bus would drop us off, and I used to run home just as fast as I can because I had some TV programs that I just loved to watch. And I try to get home right around 3:30. We get out of school at 3, and I was generally home by 3:30. And out of the lineup, I think, you know, I watched Tom and Jerry, Gilligan's Island, Hogan's Hero. I would catch a little bit of the Brady Bunch every once in a while, but that wasn't a regular show for me. By far, without question, my favorite show that I just could not miss was Gilligan's Island. And I bet you I've seen every episode of Gilligan's Island a dozen times at this point in my life. And, you know, the show was only made, I think, from 64 to 67 was the years that they actually recorded those episodes. And, you know, so these were all reruns by the time I was watching them, but I just loved that show. And there were some pretty, you know, crazy things that what we consider outlandish today as adults looking back on that. You know, Ginger's endless wardrobe. She just always had these beautiful evening gowns and just had an entire box of them. And it was, you know, it was a 3-hour cruise, after all, that they went on originally. And, you know, the batteries for the radio that just never stopped, and the ability for the professor to just fix anything. I think that was one of my favorite parts of the show. I just loved how the professor could come up with these solutions to fix things. And, you know, and you have to give credit to Gilligan. You know, the guy wore white pants and they, you know, kept them clean. He was amazing, all the work that he did. So, you know, I just loved that show. And one of the biggest takeaways I get out of Gilligan's Island was, you know, the fact that they had to work together. And so, you had the skipper, you had Gilligan, of course, which ran the boat. You had the professor, which was this brainiac guy. Then you had Ginger, the movie star, and Marianne, the good little farm girl. And then you had Mr. and Mrs. Thurston Howell III, you know, the millionaires. But once they were on that island, they had to put all that aside and they had to work. And I've used Gilligan's Island as an analogy in many conversations, especially political ones. Because we'll get into these conversations with people about who's owed what. And I said, look, you know, you're on Gilligan's Island, and you've all got to go out and pick a coconut. You want to eat. You got to pick a coconut. So what happens, you know, day after day, you're going out and you're picking a coconut, to becoming harder and harder to pick. And maybe the professor at one point says, look, the rainy season's coming. There's a ton of coconuts on the other side of the island based on my calculations. I'm going to go over the mountain and pick a bunch of coconuts and bring a whole bunch back so I don't have to go out and hunt for coconuts every day. So he figures out how to do it. He comes up with a plan, ask everybody else if they want to join him in. And everybody says, no, we're just going to stay here and pick the coconuts local. We don't want to go up and there's a gorilla that lives up on the mountain. We don't want to fight him, all those things, right? So, you know, the professor goes off and does that, and he comes back, you know, 2 weeks later with like 200 coconuts. I mean, enough coconuts to last him like 6 months. And in the meantime, you know, everybody else is just still going out foraging for their day, working, picking a coconut when they feel like it. And then one day Ginger and Gilligan decide that, you know what, we're just going to go down to the lagoon and hang out. We're not going to go pick a coconut today. And at the end of the day, comes around, they don't have a coconut, so they go to the professor and they say, hey, you know, you have all those coconuts, we don't have any coconuts, can you give us a coconut? So my question is that, does the professor owe him a coconut? Most people would say no, but can the professor give him one? Well, absolutely he can give him one, that's his choice. So maybe the professor does give him a coconut, but then they do it again the next day, and the professor says, huh, well, okay, but, you know, I don't want to keep doing this. You guys need to go out and pick coconuts. And they're like, oh, yeah, we will. We just got busy today. And then day three comes around, and they ask the professor for a coconut again, and the professor says, no, I'm not going to give you guys any more coconuts. You need to work. You need to do something. He goes, if you want to help work on my hut or something, I'll give you a coconut, but I'm not just going to give you a coconut because you guys were down laying in the sun on the lagoon. So that's really the story of the way I kind of perceive what we do as a community, right? We all need to pitch in. We all need to work. We all need to be part of that community. And some people are going to be better at some things than others, obviously. So my question is, if Gilligan was saying, hey, I'm going to work on your roof, on your hut for you, and get you some new thatch up there so it doesn't leak, then Professor might say, hey, great, I'll give you a coconut for that. But what happens if Ginger and Gilligan then, you know, they don't get the coconut, so they get everybody to vote. They get everybody together, and Ginger and Gilligan persuade Marianne and the to vote with them and the skipper. And so now it's a 4-3 vote that says, hey, the professor has coconuts. He needs to give coconuts to people that don't have them. You know, is that fair? I think most people say no, but that happens all the time. That's what happens in democracy. You know, 51% vote for the other 49% to take care of them. And even worse, what happens if they just made the skipper the governor of the island? And now that governor just comes back because Ginger goes and pays a visit to the governor and persuades him to dictate that if you have more than 10 coconuts, you got to give away 10% of your coconuts to people that don't have coconuts. Well, was that fair? No, but it happens all the time. And the reason why I'm talking about this, you know, Gilligan's Island on Long-Term Care Radio, is because Washington State is up to it again. Last week, I talked about the Washington Trust Long-Term Care Act. And if you missed that episode, you can get the podcast, you can get it on iTunes, you can go to our website at 525longtermcare.com. My point is you need to listen to that. You need to be aware of what is coming. What has happened is the governor signed a bill that said you now, as an employee in the state of Washington, will be taxed on every single dollar you earn to set up a long-term care plan in the future. Now, doesn't matter if you make $10,000 a year or you make $10 million a year. If you're a W-2 employee, all of your money is going to be taxed. What's it for? The Long-Term Care Trust Act is going to provide a benefit of $100 a day for a maximum of $36,500. That's the benefit. Now, that benefit doesn't even qualify as long-term care by our own insurance guidelines. Our insurance says long-term care plans have to provide coverage for a minimum of 2 years. What's in the name? Long, right? Long-term care. It's not 6 months or 8 months. So the idea is that they're passing this act kind of quietly through, and you are all going to be subject to paying this tax on every dollar you make if you're an employee in the state of Washington. Now, some things you got to keep in mind about this program. The governor signed it. He wants it to go through. If you remember when he was running for president, this was one of his big campaign things about, you know, global warming, number one, and number two, we were the first state to pass a comprehensive long-term care act. Well, that's what he's talking about. But let me just tell you right now, it's not comprehensive. It's not going to provide true long-term care coverage for anybody. It's going to be a Band-Aid. It's going to help some people pay $100 a day for up to a year, but you have to qualify for this program. You have to hit three ADLs. Normal long-term care insurance is only two activities of daily living. That's your transferring, toileting, bathing, dressing, eating, and continence. The state defines those differently. And again, I talked about that last week on the podcast. But what you need to know is that this bill is going to affect everybody 18 and over. They're going to have to pay into this tax. Your income will be taxed regardless of how much you make. The benefit will be the same for everybody. Your spouse, if you have a stay-at-home spouse or partner, they are not going to be covered. Again, only those people that are W-2 waged employees that are paying into this. And if you move out of the state, you don't get to take the benefit with you. So one of the things you need to understand about this is that the whole system is flawed from the get-go. It's a matter of we're going to go take coconuts from the professor because he's got a lot of coconuts and we're going to redistribute them. That's what we're going to do. And I know a lot of people probably think that's okay. People without coconuts think, oh, that's great. But I'm telling you right now that it is not going to be what you think it's going to be. And there's only one way to get out of this program. There is a way to opt out of it and not have to pay that ongoing tax. And we're going to talk about that today in the last segment. But again, the meat of the bill, we talked about that last week. I will probably bring up information again between now and the summer because we've got limited time to act if you don't have an existing long-term care plan or you're going to be forced into paying this tax ongoing. Before we get going today, though, I've got a, I tell you, we've got a great question of the week from Allison in Denver, Colorado, my home state. She listens on our podcast, and she wants to know a little bit about how do you choose the right plan. So we're going to talk about that in our next segment. I've got a great client of the week that I want to explain to you. It's a savings-based plan. And folks, what I mean by this is if you have savings, you've got money sitting in savings that you're planning on using to self-insure your long-term care journey, there's a better way. And these plans are fantastic. They go up to age 80. I'll show you how we set that plan up this week and why we did that. And I've also just want to update you. Last week, I mentioned my classes for March. I've actually got two classes on the calendar now. I said the 20th and the 24th. It's actually going to be the 17th. That's a Wednesday. That's going to be my first webinar, March 17th at 3 in the afternoon. And that's St. Patrick's Day, by the way. So we'll be done. Plenty of time if you want to go out and have your glass of green beer or whatever you do for St. Patrick's Day. So Wednesday the 17th, and then the following Saturday, that next Saturday, the 20th at 9 a.m. And I've updated those, both those classes on our website. And again, sign up for the class. It's just a great way to learn all this information, kind of find out a little bit about us, find out about some of these programs, and get you ready to start having that discussion if you want to see if long-term care planning is right for you. Stick around. When we come back, I got a question of the week from Allison in Denver, and we're going to find out how do you figure out how much long-term care insurance you need. We'll be right back.
Many people with near or over $1 million in assets will mistakenly pay more in taxes in a long-term care situation than it would have cost them to set up an insurance plan to pay for the care needed. Learn more by attending Brian's free asset-based class. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
Have you heard? Beginning next year, all W-2 employees will be taxed for long-term care, but not if you have an existing plan in place. This new government program will make Washington State employees pay for a long-term care plan through that new payroll tax. You won't have a choice, and you won't be able to opt out unless you have an existing plan in place. I will not be paying the new tax because my wife and I have a plan through my friends at 525 Advisors. I recommend you do the same. Do it now because most people will be able to get better coverage for less than what they would be taxed. Long-term care is such an important part of your retirement planning. A good long-term care plan can make sure your care is funded and managed when you need it, protecting your loved ones and everything you've worked hard for. They also have plans that pay you back if you never tap into it. You think the plan from the state's going to do that? Don't be tricked by another government boondoggle. Talk to 525 Advisors about a plan that works for you. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Take the burden off your loved ones by making sure your care is funded and managed in a time of need. Visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow Thursday, March 25th, right after my show. And Zach, I'm excited to be there. Tell us what to expect.
Dory, we've taken Bulwark's entire investment and retirement planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class. We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham Thursday, March 25th, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You'll get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing, too. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Pearl Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Are you confused about the best way to protect your family and savings? Get answers now by listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back, and thanks again for tuning in this weekend or weekday, whenever it is that you're listening to the podcast. So we get questions on a regular basis through our website, and if you have one, feel free to send that in. We just updated and made some changes. I think the email address now is info, I-N-F-O, at 525advisors.com. But if you shoot us through a question, we're going to respond to those questions. And every once in a while, I like to go through and pick a question and talk about that question on the program, because it's just it's a great way for me to get that information back out to you and what you guys are thinking and wanting to know about long-term care planning. And this is a question I run into on a regular basis. This is from Allison in Denver, Colorado. Allison said, I started getting quotes for long-term care insurance over a year ago, and I still don't know what to do. How do I know how much coverage I need? Well, that's a great question, Allison. And first off, before we even get into figuring out how much we need, the number one problem I see right out of the gate here with Allison is that she, just what she said, I started getting quotes. Now, when you call around and say, I need a quote, and if you jump on the web, you know, you say, hey, long-term care insurance, you're going to find the first three or four advertisements right at the top of the page are always going to be, you know, get your quotes today, get up to three quotes today, you know, let us send you a quote. It's just quote, quote, quote. Well, my problem with that is just what Allison has here. How does she know how much you need? It's like saying, how much does a car cost? Well, what kind of car do you want? I mean, do you want an F-450 four-wheel drive truck so you can pull your horse trailer, or do you want a Prius? I mean, what do you want? And so it's the same way with insurance. Remember, what we're doing with insurance is we're buying a bucket of money. We're buying a future benefit. So when you go around and you say, hey, I need quotes or I'm looking at quotes, what do those quotes really mean? And the other problem I have is if we go back, you know, 20 years ago when there were 100-plus companies selling these traditional long-term care plans, these are just the pay-as-you-go type of plans, I still have software on my computer where we could plug in six companies side-by-side and we could say we want $3,000 a month of benefit for 3 years and here's their age and here's their health, and it would spit them out. And down at the bottom, someone would say, well, this one's $2,800, but this one's only $2,725. I'll take the $2,725. That's $75 cheaper. Without ever doing any research on the company. People used to just sell insurance by price, which is something that just drives me crazy. Understand what you're getting. Insurance is only important when you need it. So let's get into the question here for Allison. How do you decide how much insurance you need? Well, I think one of the big mistakes people make is they picture the worst case scenario. They look at nursing home cost because they say, well, I don't want to end up in a nursing home. It's $10,000 a month, so therefore I need $10,000 of insurance. Well, no, you don't. Even if you end up in a nursing home, remember, you don't lose your other income. You don't lose your Social Security. If you have a pension, you don't lose your pension. So you have to keep that in mind that if you're in a nursing home, you're not back at your house too. If you're a single person, we have to look at that a little bit differently. But the mistake of trying to plan for worst case scenario is very difficult. What I like to do is I like to look at long-term care insurance and consider it a coupon or a gift card in the future. And so what I mean by that is if you've got a benefit that gives you $3,000 a month, well, if you're bringing in that home health care worker 2 days a week for 2 hours at a time because that's all the care that you need and you're able to get by without them the rest of the time because you've got other family members and support and things going on around you, well, maybe you're only spending $1,500. So that $3,000 a month is going to pay 100% of your care. If you're on the other side of that and you need more care and you move into an assisted living facility and that facility is $6,000 a month, well, you've got a $3,000 discount. You got a 50% discount card because you've got $3,000 a month of long-term care insurance coming in, and therefore you only have to pay the other $3,000. So you can look at it more that way. The problem with long-term care is we don't know what we're going to need or when we're going to need it. So a lot of people, I call it the deer in the headlights, they freeze because they're afraid they're going to make the wrong decision. And there isn't a wrong decision. If you have $2,000 a month of benefit like my grandmother did, she had $70 a day. That was it. Well, I'll tell you what, if you found $500 in your mailbox every week, you could put it to work. You could put it to good work if you're in a long-term care situation. It's just going to protect your assets. So don't worry about trying to cover the maximum all the time because you don't lose your other money. And as far as, you know, medical and doctor visits and things like that, your lifestyle that you're still paying for today, well, you're still going to have your Medicare. You're still going to have your pension. You're still going to have your Social Security. You're still going to have your required minimum distributions. The idea of long-term care insurance is to help supplement those higher costs. So some of the things that we look at when we go out there on how we're putting these plans together is remember that long-term care insurance works differently than all our other insurances. Health insurance says we'll pay for this, this, or that. Long-term care insurance is basically providing you a stream of income. So again, think of it as a tax-free pension, so to speak, a tax-free benefit that comes in once you trigger that claim. If it's $10,000 a month, that says you can spend up to $10,000 a month on long-term care services, including the housing costs and facilities. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is that when we're planning for a long-term care plan, we're buying that bucket of money. We're buying future dollars. And the reason why we're buying them, because we're buying them for pennies today. And so we're getting discounted cost, basically. So we're going to put X amount of money into our plan, but it's going to provide us a multiple down the road tax-free. And for traditional plans, it's hard to do the math. Some of those, you know, like my plan, I have a traditional plan that I pay about $3,200 for. Well, you know, 30 years down the road, if I put $100,000 into that, that covers both myself and my wife. We're going to have, you know, $10,000 a month for 4 years. We're going to have, you know, over $1 million of long-term care insurance tax-free on that traditional plan. Our lifetime benefit plan that I have is just unlimited. So I, you know, you can't really do the math on that. It's just I'm putting X amount into that plan because I have unlimited lifetime benefits. But my approach is what we look at is consider your situation. Number one, are you single? If you're single and you end up in a long-term care situation, that's probably a good chance that you will move to an assisted living or an adult family home or a continuing care retirement center at some point. It's very hard to age in place. You can bring 24/7 care in. It's just that that is not the most cost-effective way. So most people will choose, like my grandmother said, hey, I'm going to move to this assisted living facility because I'm going to get a better quality of life and it's going to cost less than trying to have somebody come into my house 8 or 10 hours every single day. So we look at that. Are you single? If you're married, excuse me, if you're married, we have different things to look at. When we're married, we're sitting there saying the worst fear is what happens if one of us ends up needing to go to an assisted living facility and the other one is not ready to go. Now we have the expense of two households. And so that's where we're looking at maybe, okay, we need to fund 100% of an assisted living so that our money, you know, the rest of our money can pay for our household. And again, we're looking at your assets and your income, and we're trying to figure all that out. So for Allison, she's in there saying, how much do I need? Well, what we would do for her is would say, tell me about your pension. Okay, you don't have one. What about Social Security? Okay, you've got that. What about required minimum distributions? What kind of assets do you have? What kind of income? Do you have rental income? And we're going to go through all that and figure out, does she need to supplement her income or does she need a plan that's going to really replace most of it? Because if she's renting an apartment, for instance, right now, and she has to go somewhere else, well, she's not going to be paying rent for that apartment. So she'll have that money that she can put towards her long-term care coverage, her needs. So going back in, I just will tell everybody this, that when we start a plan and we're working through this with you, we're looking at all kinds of criteria. Where do you want to age? If you know you want to age in your home and there's no other option, that's fine. You can bring in home health care, but just understand we have to do the math on that. $25 an hour, $30 an hour, $22 an hour, whatever the cost is for a home health care worker and how many hours a day. Do you have family members that are going to help? Almost all insurance companies give discounts for married couples because they know that if there's somebody else in the household, the person is going to use less long-term care services because they've got somebody there. You know, they've got somebody there to reach the pie plate on the top shelf so that, you know, grandma's not climbing up the ladder and slipping and falling off. So they understand all of that. And what we're going to look at in the family dynamic is who's going to pitch in and help, and then where do you want to age, and then what's your income stream? Remember, you don't lose your income just because you're in a long-term care situation. So a lot of times we can design a plan that's just going to supplement your existing income, and other times we might put a more robust plan in to make sure that we can pay for a separate living quarters in case just one person out of the couple ends up in a long-term care situation, we can still keep the household going. So again, that's a great question. There's no right answer, but what I will tell you is get a plan in place, get it while your health allows you to do that. And if you're still healthy down the road, you can add more coverage. You'll hear me talking all the time. I personally have two long-term care plans because my first plan I took out in my 40s, and then I put an asset-based plan behind that in my 50s. I still have both of them, and so you can do that. We're going to head into our next break real quick, and when I come back, I got a client of the week that I want you to hear, so stick around for that. We'll be right back.
Due to recent changes in the Pension Protection Act, new asset-based plans guarantee a tax-free benefit for long-term care and pay you back with interest if you never use it. Learn more and sign up for one of Brian's free classes at 525longtermcare.com.
Have you heard? Beginning next year, all W-2 employees will be taxed for long-term care, but not if you have an existing plan in place. This new government program will make Washington State employees pay for a long-term care plan through that new payroll tax. You won't have a choice, and you won't be able to opt out unless you have an existing plan in place. I will not be paying the new tax because my wife and I have a plan through my friends at 525 Advisors. I recommend you do the same. Do it now because most people will be able to get better coverage for less than what they would be taxed. Long-term care is such an important part of your retirement planning. A good long-term care plan can make sure your care is funded and managed when you need it, protecting your loved ones and everything you've worked hard for. They also have plans that pay you back if you never tap into it. You think the plan from the state's going to do that? Don't be tricked by another government boondoggle. Talk to 525 Advisors about a plan that works for you. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Take the burden off your loved ones by making sure your care is funded and managed in a time of need. Visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in this economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, you can join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, March 25th, right after my show. Zach, now is the time for everyone to take a hard look at their investment strategy.
Dory, there could not be a more prescient time. I'll answer all the big questions on investors' minds because I can promise you if you're incorporating some of the long-running investment strategies in today's markets, like a basic 60-40 stock bond portfolio, you're taking a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement.
Learn all about Zach's retirement planning and investment strategies at his Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, March 25th. I'll be there too, right after my show at 3. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Make your reservation now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Borough Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Listen and learn information from a certified long-term care planning specialist. You can email your questions to radio at 525advisors.com.
And welcome back, and thanks again for tuning in to Long-Term Care Radio. You just heard some ads there. We do have classes coming up in March. They're on the calendar again, March 17th at 3 p.m. and then Saturday, March 20th at 9 a.m. The class is the same. The idea of the class, again, is to get you educated about what long-term care is, what it pays for, where it pays for care. We're going to talk a little bit about the government programs, Medicare, Medicaid, the VA. I'm going to show you some examples, traditional plans, some asset-based plans, some single-pay plans, some pay-over-time plans. You're going to just get a lot of information. And then we compare how long-term care planning stacks up to Medicaid planning and self-insuring. So the class is just really designed to just give you a good overview of what long-term care is so that when you're ready to start putting a plan in, you'll have the basics down. You'll know how plans are triggered. You'll know what they pay for. You'll know about some of the different options out there. So again, look for those classes on our website at 525longtermcare.com. And again, we have people coming in from all over the country now on those webinars. It's a free webinar, and we will send you a book, A Guide to Long-Term Care Planning as well, too. So, again, 525longtermcare.com is where you can sign up. So, one last thing before I get to the client of the week, too. When you are designing a plan and you're trying to figure out how much coverage there is, remember there are some limits. Like most insurance carriers will have some kind of upper-end limit and a lower-end limit. So maybe $50 a day or $1,500 a month is going to be about the smallest plan you can get. And maybe $10,000 a month is going to be the higher end of the benefit that you can start out with. And then you can put inflation on them. So the idea of saying, how much money do I need? Well, there are some limits. The IRS says today you can get up to $400 a day on a cash benefit plan without any tax consequences. technically you can get $15,000, $20,000 a month. You just have to prove that you're spending it on long-term care services. But again, there are some guidelines and some limits there, because long-term care costs generally aren't going to be, you know, $45,000 a month. So that's not what we're trying to plan for. But most people, most of the ranges that we see starting benefits, like both of my plans, I have one that started at $6,000 a month, one at $8,000 a month, and I put 3% inflation on it. But we have clients that have a couple thousand dollars a month of benefit, and I have clients that have $15,000 a month of benefit. So there are some limits, but it's really just going to depend on what you have as far as financial income-wise and family support. That's the best way to look at it. And like I say, you don't have to get it perfect. You're never going to guess and hit the exact amount right. The nicest thing about some of these asset-based plans now is they pay you back if you don't use them. So it makes it a lot easier to maybe put a more robust plan in place. So this is the time of the show, the client of the week, where I bring to you an example of somebody that we helped with long-term care. And this week is Gail. She's from Bellevue, Washington. She's 73 years old and was told she could not get long-term care insurance. I can't even count how many clients we have now that were told they were too old for long-term care insurance by an attorney or a financial advisor or CPA. Gail has two grown kids. She has grandkids. She was planning on self-insuring. And the reason why is because just like, well, my husband passed away. I've got my nest egg, and I was told I was too old for long-term care, so I'm just hoping that I have enough money. And the frustrating part about that is the biggest concern for Gail by far was running out of money and ending up on Medicaid. And again, AARP, there's been study after study, the number one fear for seniors is running out of money. Now, you might be sitting there on, you know, $600 or $800 or $1 million and think, oh, and you got your small Social Security. But when you're 70 and you think, well, I've got another 20 or 30 years of life in front of me, and I'm not bringing income in, I'm not making money, it's very difficult. It's difficult for those people, or you're subject to the stock market. What's that stock market going to do? Is it gonna crash? Am I gonna lose 30%? Who knows? So again, that's the number one fear. And so for Gail, she thought, well, I have some assets, I have some money, but I just don't know if it's enough. And the other thing that was really bothering her was how much of her assets does she have to leave alone? How much of that nest egg does she have to protect for the rainy day in the future? And again, people are afraid to spend their money. And so she said, gosh, I don't really feel free to go out and travel and spend, you know, the money on the grandkids the way I would like to, because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, am I spending a dollar today that I might need in the future? So I totally get that. And so again, her biggest concerns, running out of money. She didn't want to be a burden on her kids, and she wanted to know where she was going to be. She had some friends. She watched a family friend through the church end up on Medicaid, and then they got kicked out of the facility that they were in. And she said, I don't want that to happen. It was just a nightmare. And it is true. It's one of the hardest things on older people is when you're trying to move them from someplace they've been for a year or two. And that's really what happens on Medicaid. A lot of facilities won't accept Medicaid. So she thought, gosh, I really want to avoid that. I want to avoid Medicaid at all costs. So what I found out about Gail in our conversation was she was living off of she had a small pension, and she had Social Security. And the pension was just the pension from her husband. It was a lifetime pension, so she's not going to run out of that. She had a small retirement account that she was taking required minimum distributions out of, and that was just kind of her extra money that she thought, you know, if I need a roof or I need to fix my car, vacations or something like that, that was what that was for. And then she had an annuity and some CDs. And for those of you that don't know annuity, when I say annuity, everybody thinks it's such a bad word. And I was just kind of doing some training yesterday with one of our employees. Annuity is like saying vehicle. It could be a bread box truck. It could be a sport utility vehicle. It could be a sports car. It could be a pickup truck. When most annuities out there are going to be fixed annuities or deferred annuities, the variable annuities are where you have a chance of loss. And so financial advisors have to sell variable annuities. So we don't see a lot of those. But a fixed annuity is just like a CD, and an indexed annuity or a fixed deferred annuity or an indexed annuity. An indexed annuity is like a savings account as well, too, but it might be tied to the S&P 500 stock index. So a fixed annuity is just going to say, we'll pay you 3% for 3 years or 5% for 5 years or 6% for 7 years or whatever that rate is. It's just like a CD. The longer the time you agree to keep the money there, the more the interest rate's going to be. So the difference between a deferred annuity and a CD is that we don't have to claim the interest that you earn every year on the annuity, but you do on the CD. So any of you out there that are listening that have CDs, if you have $100,000 in a CD and it's earning 2% right now, so at the end of the year, you get a 1099-I for $2,000. You have to claim that $2,000 this year and pay tax on it. That same money in a deferred annuity, $100,000, earning 2%, you would earn that $2,000, but you wouldn't have to claim it. You don't have to claim it as income this year. So what happens is your $102,000 then grows by 2% the next year. Most deferred annuities will pay a little bit higher rates than CDs, and so that's another advantage of having them. But the number one advantage for annuities is that it works like a retirement in the account that I can put money in there, I can grow it, I don't have to claim that this year and pay taxes on it. I just have to pay the tax down the road when I take the money out. So going back to our client here, Gail had a deferred annuity that her and her husband had put in money into this annuity years ago. They had a cost basis of $50,000. That's how much they deposited into the annuity. The annuity's value was worth about $93,000, a little over like $93,247 or something. That was the actual value of the annuity, the money that she would get back. The problem is, the way the annuities work, remember, she earned $43,000 of interest over those years. She didn't pay any tax on it. So when she goes to take that money out, she's got to pay tax on the first $43,000 of that annuity. So that's why most people with those annuities, they just let them sit there, because as long as they're sitting there, they can just keep rolling them over, and they don't have to claim any of that income they're making as tax. It's tax deferred. That's the beauty of those. And they're protected from loss. They're not going to go down. And so that's the other thing. It's like a CD. The reason why we put money in the CD is because we know that it's not going to go down in value. Annuities offer you the same benefit, even indexed annuities. They'll may go up 7% one year if the stock market goes up 15%, but if the stock market goes down 30%, your fixed deferred or your indexed annuity is not going to go down in value. It's just going to stair step up. So that's why people love them. They're protected. They're savings. Really, they're not investments. They're really savings vehicles, and they're tax deferral. So after looking at Gail's situation, I said, look, you've got this deferred annuity just sitting there. What are you going to do with that? She goes, well, that's just, you know, my rainy day. I would use that for long-term care. And she had some money, and she had a few CDs that were rolling over that were just earning next to nothing in interest. I said, what if we take that and we put that money to work and get you some long-term care insurance, that annuity? And she said, that's fine. And there's another advantage for Gail as well, too. Under the Pension Protection Act, if we take that annuity, now remember, she has a $50,000 investment in that annuity. It's worth $93,000 now. If we roll that into a long-term care plan, she can take all of that gain out, that $43,000 out, tax-free. So she'll never pay tax on that. So that's under the pension protection. It allowed us to do 1035 exchanges with annuities and with life insurance into long-term care plans. And so that's what we're going to do. So what we did is we designed a plan, and we ended up just putting an even $100,000 into her plan. She had the $93,000 of the annuity that we rolled over, and she made up the difference. It was like $6,800 that she just deposited. So she had an even $100,000 into her plan. Now, what this is going to do for Gail is it's going to provide her a monthly long-term care benefit of $4,167 a month. So she's basically going to have $50,000 a year of long-term care insurance tax-free for 6 years. So if you want to do the third grade math with me, that's $300,000 of benefit that she has. Now remember, she just deposited $100,000 into it. And really, out of that annuity, that $93,000, that really only cost her $50,000, because that $43,000 was just gain that she already had. So what happens is that $100,000 that she deposits into this long-term care insurance plan turns into $300,000 of long-term care. Now, if she never uses long-term care, that full $100,000 is paid back to her estate. If she uses long-term care, if she uses less than $100,000, she gets the difference back to her estate. So there's no magic to this. You're really self-insuring. It's just that first $100,000 was your money. That was your money that you had sitting in the annuity, sitting in some CDs. It doesn't matter where it's at. That's a finite amount of money. That's what you have. It's just the reason why we take it out of one pocket and put it into the insurance plan is because now it turns into $300,000 of tax-free money. Because the insurance company is taking that money, they're investing that in their general account, and what they're doing is they're using the interest that you would earn to buy insurance inside that contract, which triples the value of your money. Again, it triples the value of your money. So I tell people, you take $100,000, stick it in a coffee can in the backyard. If you never use it, you go dig up your $100,000. It's always going to be there. But should you need long-term care insurance, well, you've got $300,000. Now, remember, Gail's 73 years old here. I can't get her a plan even close to this anywhere else through a traditional plan or anything else that pays this kind of benefit. It'd be just cost prohibitive. It'd be very expensive premium. And if she never used it, she wouldn't get her money back. What we're doing here on the savings-based plan is simply taking a portion of her existing assets and repositioning it with the insurance company. She's going to get it back either way, but should she need long-term care, she gets to pull out all of her gain tax-free that she has on her existing annuity, and all those monthly benefits are paid back to her, $41.67 for 6 years. So this just gives her a cushion. It gives her a little security. 6 years is going to cover 95% of all long-term care claims. But the bottom line for Gail is she knows now, okay, I just turned $100,000 into $300,000. That gives me a little more breathing room with my other money and lets me just kind of enjoy life because I know I've got this long-term care plan. And the nice thing about this plan, folks, is it guarantees her principal balance. It will never go down. There's lots of these options out there, but this one's unique that she'll never lose her $100,000 because interest rates are low right now. But if interest rates start to go back up, her cash value, that $100,000, may even increase in value because the fee that they charge for the insurance inside the contract is a set rate. So if her $100,000 starts earning more than that in interest, she gets the difference. So it's just a win-win program right now for people. If you have CDs, if you have annuities, you have any of these low interest rate vehicles, we can reposition that. You're not going to lose a dime. You're going to get that money back either way. But should you need long-term care, you're going to triple your benefit and it's all going to come back tax-free. So, I just love these. I just love working through the problems. And so lots of examples on our website if you want to see some more options out there. We're going to head into our final break and stick around when we come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about how do you get out of this new Washington State Long-Term Care Trust Act. There's only one way, and I'll tell you how to do it. We'll be right back.
Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, providing valuable insight to protect you in the event of an extended healthcare situation. Learn more by attending one of Brian's free classes this month. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. 525longtermcare.com.
Have you heard? Beginning next year, all W-2 employees will be taxed for long-term care, but not if you have an existing plan in place. This new government program will make Washington State employees pay for a long-term care plan through that new payroll tax. You won't have a choice, and you won't be able to opt out unless you have an existing plan in place. I will not be paying the new tax because my wife and I have a plan through my friends at 525 Advisors. I recommend you do the same. Do it now because most people will be able to get better coverage for less than what they would be taxed. Long-term care is such an important part of your retirement planning. A good long-term care plan can make sure your care is funded and managed when you need it, protecting your loved ones and everything you've worked hard for. They also have plans that pay you back if you never tap into it. You think the plan from the state's going to do that? Don't be tricked by another government boondoggle. Talk to 525 Advisors about a plan that works for you. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
For the most options, including new plans that protect you and your loved ones and pay you back if you never use them, visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow Thursday, March 25th, right after my show. And Zach, I'm excited to be there. Tell us what to expect.
Dory, we've taken Bulwark's entire investment and retirement planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class. We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham Thursday, March 25th, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You'll get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing, too. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Borough Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Staying in control of your care options is a better alternative than letting the government decide for you. Welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, Certified Long-Term Care Planning Specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back, and thanks again for tuning into Long-Term Care Radio. For those of you that are listening on the podcast, and we are just getting more and more numbers every week, and I certainly appreciate that. We have a library of these episodes. You can get them on iTunes. You can get them on our website. And we do work with clients all over. And with the webinars now, it's easy. Before, we used to teach live classes, so that was always kind of an obstacle for somebody to come in and go through a live class if they lived out of state. But now you can just jump on the World Wide Web. And when you sign up for one of our classes, we're just going to send you a link, and you click on that, and you can actually then just join in on the class, and you can actually send your questions into us, and we answer the questions. So it's just a really nice format. We've been doing it this way for about a year. We got forced into this last March because of COVID, but it's actually working. We're making the best of it, and we're getting a lot of really good feedback. And again, the way you're going to hear us always talking on Long-Term Care Radio about signing up for a class, it's because we want to start with education. We're not going to try to sell you something. We're not going to try to twist your arm. So when someone calls me up and says, can I get a quote for long-term care? I know that that's not my client. I know that they can search the internet and they can get 1,000 quotes. Our goal is to design a plan for you. We want to find out about you. We want to find out where you want to live. Tell me about your family structure. Where are your assets? Are you a business owner? What I'm looking for is, number one, we're going to figure out how to design a plan that fits for you, number one. But number two, what's the most efficient way to fund it? So when I have a client of the week like Gail comes in and she's got this deferred annuity just sitting there, I'm like, holy cow, that is a home run under the Pension Protection Act, because she gets to pull out all of that gain and that annuity tax-free. And there's no other way you can do that. So it's just a really, that's what we do, is we design custom plans, and we're trying to, tell you the pros and the cons of each type of plan, because there's benefits on both sides. But again, next class, 17th, that's St. Patrick's Day at 3 o'clock, and then the 20th at 9 a.m. So you can sign up for those. So let's go back to the very beginning of the show from last week. I was talking about the Washington State Long-Term Care Trust Act. And I will just tell you, most people don't know about this. And I was telling my wife, there's probably going to be like an unmarked white van outside our driveway here pretty soon once the politicians hear me spouting off about this, because it's a train wreck. It's actuarially upside down. It's another boondoggle government program that they're going to throw out there. They're teasing us with this low tax rate, saying it's 0.58%, which is $580 per $100,000. But the plan's upside down already. So they're going to have to raise those taxes, or they're going to have to cut the benefits. Well, the benefits are minimal, $100 a day for a maximum of $36,000. That's not even real long-term care insurance. The problem is, the way the system is set up is it goes back to Gilligan's Island. They're going after the professor because he's got all the coconuts. So they're looking for the high-wage earners to supplement the low-wage earners. So if you're making $20,000 a year, you don't get any less benefit than the guy that's making $300,000 a year and is paying, $2,000 a year in taxes. So you just have to keep in mind that this is just going to be another income tax, so to speak. You're not going to get that benefit if you move out of the state. If you move out of the state, you can't take it with you. You don't own this policy. And when the Trust Act was signed, it allowed private, long-term care insurance policies the freedom to opt out of the program. So that means they're not contributing to the payroll tax, and they're not going to share in the benefits. But then what happened is, over the summer of 2020, the Trust Act was amended, and they initially agreed to allow people to sign out. They were going to give them a nice long window to get a plan in place. But the lawmakers were increasingly concerned about the presence of the private long-term care insurance market. And why were they concerned about this? It's because there's a consulting group out there that came into the state. It's called Milliman, and they do long-term care research all across the country. So we read about them in our magazines, in our journals and stuff. But what they came out and they found out, they put a report out that said 45% of employees, representing 75% of Washington's wage base, could obtain better or equivalent coverage for the same amount of money or less money that they're going to be taxed. And so this made the lawmakers very nervous. And in fact, one of them on the testimonies here said, if word gets out that individuals of higher income can avoid participating in this program by going out and potentially getting a comparable plan in the private market or a really cheap plan in the private market, that's definitely going to put some pressure on the solvency of the program. Folks, that's why they're not going to start telling you about this. They're not going to start telling you about the Washington Trust Long-Term Care Act until after it's too late for you to go out and get your plan. So for those of you that are close to retirement, it's not a big deal. But if you have kids that are working professionals, you know, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, you need to really stop and look at that and think about this, because you can get a bare-bones long-term care plan that you own for a fraction of what you're going to be taxed. And the fact that you own it means it's portable. It means you move somewhere else, it's yours. It means you can get your spouse covered. That gives you a lot of flexibility. It is the only way that you can get out of this upcoming tax. And again, it's going to start January 2022. The only way you can get out of this tax is if you have an existing long-term care insurance plan in place. And that's going to be, I believe it's going to be July 24th is going to be the cutoff date. We'll find out. The final bill is in Senate right now. It's already passed the House. So we will keep you posted on that as we're staying on top of that. But for a lot of people, you know, this is going to be a good deal. I'll be honest with you. For a lot of people that aren't earning a lot of money, or they have pre-existing health conditions and they're going to end up in a long-term care situation, they'll get that $100 a day for a year. That can be paid to a family member as long as the family member goes through training, like 21 to 35 days of training, depending on what the claim is for. So there are going to be some people on the lower end, but again, it's a redistribution. What they're just saying right in the bill is they are expecting the higher wage earners to supplement and to pay into this program to support and keep it solvent. And I just think what's going to happen is you're going to continue to see the taxes go up and up and up. And once you're in it, you're probably not going to be able to get out of it, period, unless you just move out of the state and take another job. So anyway, lots of information. We have two classes coming up in March. Lots of information on our website at 525longtermcare.com. Thanks again for tuning in this weekend, and we will be back next week with another show. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Event info, planning resources, and long-term care radio podcasts can all be found at 525longtermcare.com. To schedule an appointment with Brian Ott, call 425-748-8188. That's 425-748-8188. For more information on the show or to sign up for a free long-term care planning class, visit 525longtermcare.com. Tune in next Saturday morning at 8 to Long-Term Care Radio with your host, Brian Ott, on Cairo Radio.